Today, the deposit rate plot thickens. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've noticed this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Martin.
Great to have you back. And we're going to do a deep dive into the wonderful world of deposit rates, because there's stuff going on you would not believe.
Yeah, there is, Martin. I mean, depositors have had a raw deal from their banks for a couple of years now, 3 or 4 years, really. They've been on a steady downward grind. Now, even when the cash rate was doing nothing, they were still steadily grinding down towards zero. Now, they were very patient and said, well, okay, one day rates will turn, the RBA will put rates up, and then our day will come. We'll get our day in the sun, we'll get a pay rise from the bank, they'll give us more interest. Well, they have, Martin, but not as much as they've passed on to borrowers. So, yeah, there's a story to be told.
Yeah, and it's worth just reflecting, of course, the banks ultimately make their profit by the difference between the rate at which they can recover from their loans versus those they have to pay out to their depositors plus or minus funding. And so,
yeah, that's right. And yeah. Just to, when you hear a bank talk about margin or a bank analyst talk about the margin, that's exactly what it is. It's the rate that the bank charges their borrowers minus the rate they pay their depositors. Now, there's some other funding in there too, and there's some capital, but that's essentially what it is. So the more the bank can hold down interest rates on savings while they put up interest rates on borrowings, the fatter their margin gets. And that goes straight to their bottom line, straight to their profit.
And it's worth saying then, if you look at the recent results, their margins have been under pressure. So there is already some difficulty with regard to the banks. They have this very cheap money from the term funding facility, which is going to have to be repaid at some point. And new bonds are being issued at more expensive rates than previously. So the banks are under pressure. And guess what, folks? Depositors get the short end of the stick again.
Yeah, the wholesale markets won't tolerate it. The wholesale markets say, look, this is where interest rates are. This is what we're charging. When I say wholesale markets, it's sort of like superannuation funds that want to lend the bank some money. So they get what the market is, where the market is. Depositors, one, they're not as well informed, and secondly, they don't have the power that the wholesale funders have. So you know what? They're the meat in the sandwich. They're the ones that say, they have to say, well, gee, the bank's not bumped up my rate the way I would have expected, but I don't know what else I can do about it, so I just hang in there.
And then, of course, the other issue is that there's a difference between average rates and true rates, and different players have different rate mixtures and different types of deposit accounts. So, again, it's not a straightforward landscape, but I think we can probably quite quickly cut to the chase and say, chances are your deposit rate is not the best available in the market.
Oh, look, undoubtedly, Martin. So on base accounts, now let me run through what the different accounts are. There's a base account, and that's one that just has one interest rate. There's a bonus account. Now, that has a very low base rate, but you get quite a decent bonus with some providers, provided you meet the bonus conditions. We can talk about that later. And then there are promo accounts that have a base rate plus a promotional introductory rate, which disappears after 2, 3, 4, 5 months. So to your question, the base accounts, the difference between, the average rate is 0.95%. Gee, the Reserve Bank's gone up by 1.75 and they're only giving 0.95% on average. The maximum is 2%. The base rate on bonus accounts, 0.18 compared to 1% maximum. And promo accounts, the base rate, 0.86% compared to 2.25 max. So you can see that you can earn 1.3% better on some of those accounts by being in the best account, not the average accounts. And believe me, a lot of people, averages is average. You've got a lot of people earning way below the average. So they're giving away, in some cases, the best part of 2%.
Yeah, and of course, we're talking here not term deposits. We'll come onto those a bit later. These are effectively pretty much at-call deposits, aren't they?
They are. They're at call. Now, when I say at call, if you've got a bonus account, you might really find that withdrawing money means you don't get any return at all, virtually no return at all. But, yes, they're at call. They're money that borrowers can withdraw if they have an emergency need or if they just haven't planned ahead. So, at call money. Now, bonus accounts are interesting because on some accounts, the bonus is only paid if you don't touch the money at all, if you don't withdraw money, and you also have to pay in a certain extra amount every month into the savings. Now, they're tough accounts to have. Others are quite good because you just have a linked check account and make a transaction account and just make do some transactions through it. Some are easy, some are tough. Make sure you get into one where you can every month get the rate. Otherwise, those bonus accounts do not return anything that great.
No, it's all about marketing spin again. That's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, headline rates, bonus rates. Yeah, people love to talk about it. Now, banks always have to put disclosure into their advertising. But when you've got a big headline rate in the ad and all the details down there in a footnote, well, you know, And ASIC does regulate how big the footnote has to be and all that stuff, but it's still the marketing play is the big, bold rate.
So, Steve, the one question I've got for you is how on earth have the banks managed to work this magic where effectively they are underpaying what they should be paying on those deposit accounts?
Yeah, that's a great question, Martin, because the Treasurer, a couple of rate increases back, said to the banks, not good enough, you've got to pay more to your depositors. The banks promptly then turned around and with their interest rate announcements, they said, we're bumping up the variable rate of borrowers by 0.5%, but we're increasing our ABC account by 0.5%. Now, that sounds okay. That sounds like, gee, they're charging borrowers more, but they're also paying more to their savers, which sounds like a great deal. But it overlooks the fact that the bank has an ABC account and an XYZ account in their portfolio. And what they've done over the period is that they have increased the rate for one account or the other account each time the Reserve Bank goes through. And that means that even if they passed on the full amount of the increase, you're only getting it every second month, whereas the borrowers get it every single month, the increase. So they've already pocketed a 0.5% every 2 months. That's one trick. But then the other trick is that they haven't passed on that full 0.5%. Now, they have to borrowers, but not to savers. So I'll just give you an example of all of that. May, June, July, August, on base accounts. Now, these are the accounts that just have one interest rate. 33 accounts on the database, only half of them passed on the increase, and it was 0.18. compared to the Reserve Bank's 0.25. Next month, 21 out of 33 bumped their rate up, but it was only 0.3. Month after that, 23 out of 33, 0.35, and 21 out of 34, 0.4. So in two ways, they've managed to not give you the increase. One, they're effectively only passing on the increase to savers every second month, and two, they're pocketing 10 basis points, 0.1%. of the 0.5% increase. In fact, a bit more than that. It's 0.2% in most months. So that's the way they've managed to not pass on the full amount that the RBA has. So it's caused a bit of smoke and mirrors. And I know the Treasurer was getting excited about the fact that they weren't passing on the increase. And I think a little bit of window dressing that the banks applied might have kind of kept him at bay, but it's sort of still not working out that way for savers. They're still not getting the deal they should be.
And I'll tell you, Steve, I know for a fact that there are teams of people within these large financial institutions specifically targeted with yield management on the deposit portfolio. So they actually get bonuses and prizes and things when they actually manage to save a few points here and save a few points there. So all of the imperatives and all of the internal incentives within inside those organisations are not to maximise the RBA's return to shareholder to depositors, but it's actually to maximise the returns to shareholders. So the whole of the system is geared against depositors and for shareholders. And as I say, there are people in banks being rewarded for doing this.
Yeah, if you've got hundreds of billions of dollars lent to customers in home loans, you can pay lots and lots of salaries and bonuses to your staff, even if they just save 0.01% or 0.010%. But in some cases, they're saving a whole 1%. Now, if they do that, they've boosted profit hugely, and lots of money be paid in bonuses that way.
And would you say that there is a rule of thumb that some of our main players, you know, the big four, et cetera, tend to be on the less generous side of the ledger?
Yeah, well, they are because being well-known brands, being with branches on every corner, all that sort of thing, and marketing budgets, and people worried about joining up with a smaller savings institution. It's obvious that they don't have to work as hard to retain deposits, and they have, you know, 70 to 75% of almost every market you can imagine in Australia. So, yes, they are. Now, they're not as far behind in some categories as you might sometimes see them, but they're certainly way, way behind the best rates.
Yeah, and of course they do mess around with them. So sometimes some rates get moved up. The next time there's an RBA lift, guess what? They move different ones. So, you know, it's very hard to stay across all of this, isn't it?
It is, and I extracted it a while ago, and maybe I'll start with kind of a headline piece here again, and then go back to how the banks managed to do this, and then you'll know what to look for as a consumer when you're thinking about your rate. So, the cash rate—that's the Reserve Bank rate—has gone up 1.75% over the last few months. The variable home loan rate's up by 1.53%. These are all averages, and that 1.53 is only as low as it is because some loans have been brought out with incentives for new borrowers, but not existing. So basically, they've passed on to their existing borrowers the full 1.75%. The base savings rate has only gone up 0.68%. The bonus rate, including the bonus, has gone up 1.3%. And then the base rate on promotional accounts has only gone up 0.69%. So you can see that the banks in a lot of those accounts have pocketed 1% of the increase of the 1.75% that the Reserve Bank has put through. So, you know, that just shows that's the real headline that says this is how far behind savers are falling.
Absolutely. And it's just one earth and scoring, isn't it? That the banks are having a greater proportion of their book now funded by those deposits. So it's become an ever more important source of funds for them, particularly because of the international financial markets and those things and changes to the local regulations. So they are, on one hand, needing those deposits, but also not paying as much as they probably should for those deposits, which is nice for them and their shareholders, but no good for those that actually hold deposits.
Yeah. Look, I still hold out hope for them though, Martin, because in the prior to increased cycles in Australia, where rates have been going up, Reserve Bank rates have been going up, savings rates have actually gone up more than lending rates, borrowing rates. So I still expect that that time will come where savings rates start to move up at a better rate, and maybe even will start outstripping the lending rates. But that's not happened yet, and they're showing no signs yet. Now, it could happen when finally the term of the term funding facility dries up. And that great source of funding has to be replaced. And at that point, banks will start chasing retail money, so that's depositors' money, to refinance their book. So that the time will come, but gee, it's proving to be further down the track than anyone would have expected. And you know, the banks had so much in deposits, and they fund two-thirds of their book these days on deposits. They just haven't had to work hard enough for it. Now, people have to make them work a bit harder for it.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you've got to, you know, force them rather than actually them being generous to, you know, I've never been heard of banks being generous, I guess. But the other point about the term funding facility, right, is that very, very cheap money, which was given by the RBA to the banks to lend out, a lot of that went back to the Exchange Equalisation Settlement account at the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank is paying the banks now 1.75%, or as it knows, probably more than 2% now, for money sitting with the Reserve Bank. So, in fact, if you think about it, they're getting more money from the Reserve Bank for money idly sitting with the Reserve Bank than they are when they actually put it out into the market.
Yeah, it's an amazing little merry-go-round, isn't it? It's quite extraordinary. And the Reserve Bank, like the government and like, you know, most Reserve Banks and governments around the world, when COVID hit, said, oh, my gosh, we are ready here now for the mother of all recessions. And it didn't come. And people save money and they put it into the bank. So the banks, instead of needing to be funded, actually found that they were just miles ahead. And money was just pouring in. So they didn't need it in the end. But it's too late by then. The Reserve Bank had committed it, and it was out the door. So I think, you know, if they had their time again, they would certainly not have done that. And on the other side, it actually encouraged the banks to way underprice debt, which has put some people into debt who, gee, now that rates are going back up, are finding that they are struggling. They're really going to struggle to make those payments.
Well, we should, as taxpayers, be very pleased to be subsidising the banks and their profits, shouldn't we? I mean, it's one way or the other, that seems to be the way it goes. So let's move on and talk about term deposits, because you can actually get, you know, 4% term deposits from some areas if you shop around.
Yeah, you can. You know, you've got to go for a longer term, but it's not that bad. You can get over 4% for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. So it's not like you're locking your money away for a huge length of time. And you know, those 4% is all compared with 2.8 and 2.9% average. So, you know, in some cases, they're sort of 1.2, 1.3% below the average is 1.2, 1.3% below the best rate. Now, you've got to be aware that with a term deposit, you are locking money away. And you want to be careful about locking it away for too long, just to get another 0.5%, because you could have a vastly underperforming savings account on your hands if rates do keep going up. Now, what borrowers can do though is mix their money around a bit. You know, keep some in those at-call savings accounts we talked about, so you can get it when you want it, and that's your immediate need you've got as well. So That's one bucket you put it into. Another bucket might be a four-year term deposit at 4.4%, 4.3%, which is the best rate on the market. And then you might put some in at 2 years at 4.05, and then some in at at a year at 3.65, etc. Mix it up so that you'll take advantage of the high rate today. Chances are that might hold you in reasonably good stead, but you won't have it forever. Rates move around. It could end up being a great rate if rates go down sooner than we think, or it could be a really poor rate, but only some of your money is locked up in that poor rate. So it's a good strategy just to, you know, it's like diversifying investment risk. You're diversifying your own household's interest rate risk.
Yeah, and there are a couple of other things to think about, right? There is the deposit insurance scheme, which is the government-backed scheme, up to $250,000 per relationship, essentially per bank. Got to be careful with St. George and Westpac, for example. They're the same financial services license. So that's one relationship, although it might be two brands.
Yeah, well, that's right. And look, that is a much misunderstood or unknown thing to a lot of people. But, you know, you'll think about some of these best rates that we talk about. Well, if they're the best rates on Canstar, it means they're what we call ADIs, Australian Deposit Taking Institutions, which means that they do benefit from that government guarantee. So you're not taking a massive risk on the institution. You're taking risk on the government. So, you know, you can move your money even though it's a brand you've never heard of, and you know, to do your own due diligence, but you can move your money around, and the government guarantee exists. But as you've said, there is a cap and it's $250,000. But, you know, there's more than one good rate out there. And if you are lucky enough to have over $250,000, which is an absolute minority, you just split it between some of the better rates.
Yeah, absolutely. Spread it around. And in fact, again, some of the smaller organisations, in fact, some of the credit unions and building societies actually do pretty good rates too. So it's worth shopping around. And The other point again is that rates move, and you know, keep an eye on it. So next time the rate rolls over, don't automatically assume that if you've got a good rate now, you're going to get a good rate next time, right? Because that doesn't often work, does it?
It doesn't work, Martin. And let me specifically relate that to term deposits. It applies to all savings, incidentally, but the term deposits are just a classic because this is how banks manage their margin. They'll have a 12-month rate. That's a great rate. And let's say it's today and it matures in September in 2023. They sign up a whole bunch of people with that, and they get them to sign up for an auto-renewal so that it rolls over again into the same term of term deposit. So you'll find that in September 2023, it will automatically mature and roll over into another 12 months through to September 2024. Now, the strategy has been with a lot of banks that they will have a great lead rate for 12 months today. And then come 12 months, you know, come sort of August 2023, they'll actually reduce their 12-month term deposit rate dramatically, and it becomes a very poor rate. And so that when those auto renewals go through, people find that they're on a lousy rate, and the bank has managed to squeeze a bit of extra margin out of them for the next 12 months. Now, the bank these days has to give people a notice period, and they've got to advise them this has happened, but a lot of people don't act on that. They just think, oh, well, it's on autopilot, fine. Don't ever think it's on autopilot. The bank will probably, without even shifting banks, the bank will probably have an 11-month rate come September 23, have an 11-month rate that is good and reasonably competitive, and they'll probably have, or they'll have a 13-month rate that's reasonably good and reasonably competitive. And all you have to do is say, look, it's coming up for maturity. What rates does my bank have? And then contact your bank and say, look, that auto renewal, forget that. We don't want to do that. So cancel that, and I will phone you on the day and say what term I want to put it into. So, you know, you've got to manage it for yourself. You can't leave any of these things to the bank, because the bank, well, they're representing their shareholders, and they're representing their interests, and they want to retain customers, so they can't be totally outrageous about it, but they will still manage for margin. And you know, if you leave it to the bank, if you wait for the bank to lift your rates in accordance with the Reserve Bank, or if you wait for your bank to put you into the best rate when your term deposit matures for auto renewal, then it's too late. You've got to do it now for yourself. Now, just with auto renewal, I should mention, even if you've missed it in advance and the bank writes to you or sends you a note or whatever they do to say, yeah, we've auto renewed it, you still have a grace period. So you can still cancel that arrangement and say, no, I want to put it in for 11 months, not 12.
Absolutely. But you've got to, again, be across it, and that's the point. So yes, make a diary note as to when it's due. Make sure that you've actually got it proactively managed. And, of course, they do little tricks, like there's a little bonus rate. You know, well, if you roll it at this point, we'll give you slightly more. But that slightly more probably doesn't cover the real gap between what you could get and what you will get if you're not careful, right? So.
Yeah, it's like everything else. Do your homework. You know, we list 60 or 70 or something term deposit providers. And go on to the websites like ours and actually compare them, because you'll find that there are some really flash rates out there compared to the average, and maybe your bank is on even less than the average. So yeah, do your homework and then be prepared. Now, unfortunately, even today you can miss a day or two of interest when you swap banks, but you make that up quickly enough.
Mm. Now, something else to just talk about before we finish is, it's surprising to me how many people have no idea what rate they're getting on their deposits, right? I mean, I guess you and I, being nerds, we sort of know this stuff, but many people don't.
Yeah, look, we did a survey at the end of August, and 32% of people don't know if their savings interest rate has gone up over the last few months. 32%, one in three people do not know. 16% say they haven't gone up at all. Their savings rate hasn't gone up at all. Now, that surprises me, because that isn't quite in line with where I thought it might be. But 32% don't even know. Yep. They haven't even looked. So, you know, they're way behind the eight ball. They have to now do something about it because they'll be a long, long way behind. Chances are most of those are big banks, incidentally, because they have the biggest market share. So they will be way behind the best rates that are around.
And, of course, if you think about the total demographic footprint across Australia, whilst there's, you know, a third of people with a mortgage and they have quite big balances, there's a lot of people with deposits. And some of those people actually have quite big deposit balances. So we are talking significant amounts of money for significant amounts of people.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of them are self-funded retirees because they're the people who've been around for a long time, paid off mortgages a reasonable time ago, and have been able to put some money together for their retirement. So there's self-funded retirees living off this. And meanwhile, inflation has just gone through the roof. We're up to 6.1%, but probably now it's a little higher again. And you know, they're paying more to live, but they're not managing, in a lot of cases, their money. Now, I hope that group is managing it better because, you know, they have more to risk and, you know, bigger deposits, more to risk, and maybe more time too. So hopefully they're not amongst those 32%. But even if you've only got, you know, only if you've got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $10,000, it doesn't matter how much it is. Just make sure that you're doing as well with the money as you possibly can. That's the real point. You know, we all have different balances and all the rest, but everyone is paid a similar interest rate. So, you know, don't let your money underwork.
No, and there's a couple of other points which I'll make. One is that if you are actually with a bank and, you know, you're going to roll over and you're not happy with the rate, it's worth actually ring them up and negotiating. People will actually be able to sometimes get better rates if they do make a fuss.
Yeah, you've got to have a reasonably high amount to do that. But if you've got a reasonably high amount, it is worth picking up the phone and saying, well, that's not good enough. I've got to go somewhere else to get better than that. And they'll defend it to a degree. Now, it's not like the old days where you could get sort of an extra 0.5% or something, because I think you struggle to get that these days, in particular given that the banks have so much of a deposit base right now. But nevertheless, it still can help, but you've got to have a reasonable amount of cash. And, you know, I'm talking about, you know, $100,000 minimum before you'll get a negotiated rate. But yeah, it's still around. So if you've got that sort of money, yep, it's definitely worth negotiating with your bank.
Yeah, and I sometimes think that people, you know, with mortgages are pretty lax about the rates on their mortgages. But from my surveys, and you're seeing it too, those on the deposit side of the ledger are probably even more relaxed about it. And unfortunately, in the current environment with high inflation, with the value of every dollar effectively going down every year, you know, in absolute terms, because those returns are not as high as the inflation rate, it means that if you can get a little bit more out of those deposits, make your money work a bit harder, then it's going to actually stand you in good stead. And that's the thing I guess I want to leave as the key message today. You cannot leave it to the bank. They are not your friend. They won't look after your money for you and, you know, put you on the best rate. You've actually got to be proactive and make a fuss and do the work. Use the CanStar site or, you know, other sites that are out there to be able to find the, you know, the best options that are available. Because if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, you've got to be numero uno. That's what you've got to do with this. You've got to be the person that says, I'm taking care of myself. I'm not waiting for you, the bank, to take care of me because I'll never catch up if I do that. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to go where I get the best deal. The loyalty of the institution isn't to me. The loyalty to me is with me. So you actually have to do it for yourself.
Absolutely right. So again, it goes back to if you don't take the initiative and do it yourself, then the banks will be able to line their own pockets and those of their shareholders. And I've always said, and I continue to say, that at the end of the day, if you don't look after your money, nobody else does.
That's right. And what's more, if enough people get together and start managing it, their banks will have to look at it and say, well, gee, you know what, we've got to actually start managing for our customers more and you know, join the strength to kind of force the banks into doing it.
Yeah, Australian depositors unite and go get better. No, but seriously, you know, the purchasing power of those depositors, if they all started putting the same pressure on, then we could actually change the landscape. The trouble is, apathy rules. It's a bit hard, you know, etc. But it's not really hard. You just got to make sure that you go do it.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I love the idea of revolution over this because depositors have had a raw deal for a long time. And I'd love to see more people taking it to their bank and saying, look, I can get much better than this rate, and I'm going.
Hear, hear. I'll second that. Thanks, Steve. See you later.
See you, Martin. Cheers.